Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Focus on Albany. I'm Cynthia Poole, and my guest today is Isaiah Johnson. And Isaiah is here to talk about the controversy over the dumpster in the basketball court. So, Isaiah, how are you today?
I'm actually doing pretty good. How about you?
Good. I'm good also. So, can you give us a little background of, you know, the basketball court and how important it is and then what happened?
Well, you know, the basketball courts play a vital role in the urban community. You know, basketball is something that a lot of the youth does, and they use the, you know, public parks to do that. Now, I guess with one of the parks, there was a dumpster place. Now, I don't know if that was strategically done or if, you know, it just happened. But my thing is, why do that when you know, especially in the summertime, when you know that's what a lot of the youth use. And a lot of the is helping keep them off the street, you know, doing something constructive. So for someone to go out of their way to put a dumpster on the court, That just seems
different. Okay. Now, this took place recently, right?
Yes.
Okay. So when people started going to the basketball court and they saw a dumpster there, what happened?
I mean, I wasn't there, so I don't know. You know, like I said, I only know from what I've heard. But I guess,
right,
you know, they weren't able to access. I mean, I don't know how you would be able to. You know? We don't know.
Now, which basketball court was this? Was this the one in off of Madison Avenue by Washington Park?
I'm not sure, but most likely.
Okay.
Yes,
Is that the basketball court where the movie Ballin' in the Graveyard took place?
I think so.
Okay. So when people discovered that there was a dumpster there, then what happened?
I don't know. I don't know if it was an outcry. I don't know. I really don't know what happened.
Okay.
Like I said, I wasn't there, so I'm only going off. I don't even know. Like, I can't go up here and say, like, I wasn't there. So I really don't know what happened.
Okay. Okay. So what has the reaction been of the people in Albany over the dumpster and the basketball?
The people that live in a more affluent neighborhood don't get it. So they like, what's the big deal? You know, I've heard that bums were laying, like, you know, the poor people and stuff like that living on the streets were, like, laying on the courts, and that's why they did it. Like, come on now. Like, and like I said, I don't know if that's true, but that was one of the things I was hearing. But the reaction from the urban community, especially, is like, okay, we want to keep the kids off the street, but then when you do things like that, you know, it's like a blatant disregard for the things that we like to do in our community.
Okay.
Especially in the summer weather, you know.
So what has the reaction from the city been?
I mean, no reaction. I don't think they feel like they've done anything wrong. Like, in their eyes, I don't know. Maybe they seem like, you know, it was justified putting a dumpster on there. But I haven't heard anyone come up and get that justification yet.
Now, is it still there?
Oh, I don't think so. I doubt it.
Okay, so it was moved. So, you know, I think that was just one incident that happened during the summer. And of course,
yeah,
there was all the violence.
It's been a culmination of things.
Okay.
It's just, you know, it really.
Go ahead.
You know, it just, with the climate right now, how everything is going, like, you know, it just seems very insensitive, you know, with something like that to happen. You know, but most people don't see it as a big deal. A lot of them don't see it as a big deal. People going to see it as not a big deal. So, you know, it's been a trying time for Albany, to say the least.
So once people saw the dumpster there, then people started talking. And I'm sure you must have heard a few conversations. What was said? How did the dialogue go between people who saw it there and were not very happy with it?
I mean, it just was a lot of displeasure. You know, a lot of that don't get it and they just don't care. And at this point, it's like they don't want to get it and they don't want to care. You know, I never want to go as far out there and say, you know, the people in government lack, you know, caring for black people, that they don't care. But, I mean, you know, what are you trying to do to, you know, change what people are going through here? Like, cater to the black community like you do to big business. You know, that's all. We just want to be treated the same. That's all.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
It's all about equality. That's what it's all about.
Uh-huh.
That's the name of the game. But, something I'm going to be really focusing on is getting as many, you know, people in those communities that people feel disadvantaged and registered to vote and getting them mobilized to vote. And that's the only thing we're going to really be able to change and have the candidates we want running.
Okay, now, what race are you talking about for county legislature next year?
I mean, you know, every time I think that I want to run and I want to do that, I get discouraged because this city, they got a way of turning good intention politicians like me into crooks, and that's not what I'm trying to do. If you're not willing to toe the party line and go along with what they want, the status quo, and do what they tell you to do, you won't get the support, and you get shunned. Or shut out. Just ask John Clasher. He knows. Like, I don't know if I'm willing to, you know, I'd rather be a community leader and be able to have my, you know, my morals. I just don't know if it's something I really want to do. I think I want to be focusing on getting people registered and out there voting. Like, that's my main thing.
Uh-huh.
That's how you scare them. You build up a base. Like, I got to go at least 500 to 1,000 signatures. If I can get them to the polls and I can get them to vote and at least start them with the local elections, then try to get them more interested in the state and national. That's what I'm focused on. And these disadvantaged communities up over here and on the hill and West Hill. It's so much untapped potential that, and if you look at it, it's really never no change in the percent of people voting, and that's a problem. And you got to put that on candidates, because candidates need to do more to try to include those voters that don't vote, that don't go out there and spend those resources. You know, it's so much untapped potential, and it's so much we just look that you'll see.
You know, voting is one thing, but fielding candidates is another thing altogether. You know, a lot of people are hesitant to run because they don't want to, you know, invest time, money, a sacrifice for their family. And, you know, part of the problem is that people are not prepared to run for office. Voting is one thing, but running for office is just as important.
And, exactly.
You know, when I see the same people, different elections, the same people,
exactly.
There's not really a lot of new faces. And I'll give you one example. And I live by the museum, and there was Sergio Adams running for the Common Council. He was wonderful. He's a young fellow. He had plenty of ideas. He had but he didn't win.
But let me tell you what comes into that too. Sometimes it's the management of it. Because some people think if you don't have enough money, you can't win. That's a lie. You can win, it's just going to take more time. It's going to, like, you know, and another thing too is a lot of times candidates don't have the money to pay for campaign managers. You know, so they try to manage it on their own with no experience. The hardest thing to do is trying to find somebody that can at least steer you. So that's the first thing. Like, and then that's another thing too. You have to have an experienced campaign manager, somebody that can, you know, especially if you don't have no experience. And that's the thing. Like, that's what I'm going into too now. Fielding candidates, I don't like running for mayor, so let's find somebody that can beat the mayor. And nobody, I don't think, and out of the people I've talked to, you know, I'm looking at saying this, you should do this. No one has the money that will be able to, you know, come close to her. But I'm not worried about the money. Like, I'm worried about getting the right candidate that can appeal to both brands, the new age, the young, you know, the old Democrats, the new Democrats, young voters, old voters, that can appeal to uptown and downtown. You see what I'm saying? Like, that's what we need.
And do you think that's going to make a difference, Isaiah? Isaiah, are you there? It seems as if I've lost Isaiah. So I guess I'm going to have to wrap up Focus on Albany today. We talked a little bit about the dumpster and the basketball court. So if you like this show, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, download on your smartphone, subscribe to iTunes. If you have a comment about this show, #FocusOnAlbany on Twitter. You have a great day. Thank you.